Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience out there and those that are listening to us. Man, it's just some major things taking place. Well, I know that today, I want to talk in the wisdom moment today. We're going to be talking about a proverb that talks about a lying tongue and flattering mouth. It's amazing when the Word of God talks about lips,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what happens with our lips, you know, what our lips are saying determines how God's going to respond to us. If you just do a word search on lips in the Bible, you know, it's like, oh my goodness. It's amazing, isn't it?
There's a lot in there.
Of course, he's obviously not talking about the lips. He's talking about what's coming out between the flapping lips, you know?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Today's wisdom moment from Proverbs 26:28. It says, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Let me say it again. A lying tongue, this is Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. There's so many lies going on today, we really don't even know the definition of a lie anymore. I mean, it just, there's different versions of it. Most liars don't call what they do a lie, they call what other people do a lie. But lie is defined as this: a false statement made deliberately with a deliberate intent to deceive with an intentional untruth. For example, a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive or intentional untruth. They're intentionally saying something in a way and it's really crazy. We're going to talk about our leaders and what's going on, and it's happening everywhere. Another definition is something intended or serving to convey a false impression.
Mm.
You know, doing things that, that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lie. And it's, you know, omission or commission. It's real tough to live in the truth when so many people are lying, you know? And flattery is defined as excessive and insincere praise that is given to further one's own interest, which is, it's a lie as well. And it's like, there's so many lies. And Proverbs 29:5 says, whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net at his feet.
Mm.
I could just see, there's like a net just scattered all over America right now. There is just so many lies being told, so much flattery. You have, you know, some leaders saying, including in the church, but we're just talking about political leaders, they tell their constituents, they openly, directly, boldly lie to some, and they lie in a flattering way to others. They say, well, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give you something. And they're not going to give it to them, but they're flattering them, making them feel they're doing that to be able to give them the impression. And the definition, again, of flattery is excessive and insincere praise that is given to further one's interests or agenda. And so it's amazing what's taking place right now. Proverbs 26:24 says, a malicious man disguises himself with his lips. And so people can just take what they're saying, and they can hide behind their words. He says, a malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart, he harbors deceit. He has a deceitful plan, a deceptive plan that he's doing. Realize that the person or leaders or family member or politicians or church leaders, et cetera, all that, who lies to you through bold lips and bold lies or flattering lips or flattering lies, has deceit harbored in their heart. They're hating on you. They're hating on you. There's no love in that.
Mm-mm.
They're not caring about you. United States today, there seems to be some sort of lying spirit that's been poured out over the nation. It's like, no, you just can't stake your trust in people. You can't put your trust in political leaders. I know John Paul Jackson talks about the very thing he says under the prophetic words that he had given about the storm. He says, you know, honesty and politician, political leader, you won't even be able to go together.
Won't connect, right?
I've never seen so many people, and it's like the only way this could be really happen, because nobody's really that stupid. You know, there's something that's got a hold of them.
Mm-hmm.
Something's got a hold of our nation. I think about, you know, when God was ready to deal with a king, a leader that he had put into place and had went awry, and his name was Ahab, and he talks about how he's going to deal with him because he wants to be able to unfold something and deal with the nation and deal with his leader. In 1 Kings, he talks about it. 1 Kings 20, 20 through 23 says, and he says, he's saying, you know, I'm ready to deal with Ahab. I'm ready to bring him into a place where his end will come. And so he begins to call basically a council at his throne and starts asking, what should I do? And there, one's bringing this idea and one's bringing that idea. And in that, somebody finally comes up and says, one of the angels comes up and says, you know, I'll just lie to him. I'll be a lying spirit, and I will lie through his prophets to him. So when he hears this people, these religious folks around him, they'll tell him something that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
They'll lie to him, and then they will cause him to go to this battleground where you're planning on having him removed.
Mm.
And so this is what God says. This is what God says. God says, I like that idea. That's the idea. Well, you go down and do that. Let it be done. And so God sends a lying spirit over Israel so that the religious folk, the prophets, would lie into the ear of the king so he would hear what he used to be able to trust was a good word coming from them. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, Ahab's prophets probably weren't that good anyway. And they told him things that, hey, you'll win this battle or whatever. And that was God's plan. That was God's strategy. Mm-hmm. And Ahab went and he died.
Mm.
And understanding that it looks like to me like a lying spirit has been poured out on the land. And look, I mean, we're seeing biblically that God can pour out a lying spirit on the land. It's when God would turn a nation over to itself.
Mm.
And God is the truth. Jesus is the truth. And so, you know, he's the truth and light, and he's the way. And that if the church is living a lie,
right,
you know, why should we expect the world? God's going to say, fine, you know, I'll just give your leader, I'll just have people speak into his ears, and it'll tell him something that he once could believe that counsel, and so he's going to take it like it's real, but it's not real, and the nation goes into a place of not good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about a lying spirit, even in the church where Paul's talking to Titus about it in Titus 1, 10 through 4, he says, there are many religious people here, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things that ought not to be taught, and that for the sake of dishonest gain.
Mm.
This is Paul talking. Each one of their own prophets have said, Cretans, as he says, even their own prophets said, Cretans are always liars, brutes, and lazy gluttons. And so you think about it, that even Paul was talking about Crete and how it is possible for a lying spirit to be over land right now. And this is how you really can sense that there's something God's allowing significant, because people are looking people square in the face, looking a nation square in the face, and they're lying to them, lying to us. And then people are not even blinking or responding or confronting, even though they know it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is not good, because Satan is, this is what Jesus says, Satan's not only a liar, he's the father of lies.
Mm-hmm.
When we're getting turned over to a lying spirit, you know, that we're getting turned over to Satan. We're getting turned over to a time of bad time. It's something to be very, very worried about. I mean, I think about Revelation 21. We talk about the new heaven and the new Jerusalem, but understand that God's perspective about lying. If you haven't yet going to VFN TV. You got to go to VFN TV and watch the teaching, Liar, Liar, Your Soul's on Fire.
That's a good one.
Yeah, because it gives us a perspective, because we got to learn how to just keep our mouth shut, because what happens is Satan will take a hold of somebody and he'll start asking you questions and you'll think you'll need to respond and you don't have to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get some wisdom on how to talk to the people who are held captive by the adversary. And it's very important. But anyway, in verse 21, verse 20, he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne room saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away their tears from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderer, the sexual immoral, and those who practice magic arts, the idolater, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death.'" We have to understand that we're like the Cretans today. People say, you know, I'm committed to you. I'm going to marry you. We're going to stay married. You know, I'm going to every contract, the marriage contracts, business contracts. I mean, we all make mistakes. Things happen. But understand, the ultimate, we should desire to be truthful. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to resolve any aspect of a nation that's got a lying spirit on it, if the church has a lying spirit on it.
That's right.
And understand that whatever gospel that's been preached that says that we can lie our way into heaven, then it's according to the revelation of Jesus that it's not true. Now we can, you know, we all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God, and we may slip up and we make a mistake. But if we just give ourselves over to a lie and live a lie,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what's happening right now. I'm watching. You have liars calling truthful people liars. I mean, they're even saying liar. It's like, hey, you're the leaders. What are you doing? Yeah, that's what happened when we were 5 years old. You don't do that now. And then you have people saying, you know, with Libya, they're going, hey, they looked one of the military men who lost their lives as a fallen hero in Libya. And they're at the airport hangar burying his son. And our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, looks at in his face, the father's face
mm-hmm.
of the son that laid down his life for the ambassador mm-hmm. by choice. And mm-hmm. She said, sorry, you know, she was very compassionate about the loss of a son. But she said, then she looks at him and says, and we'll get to the root, basically paraphrasing, of whoever did this video, and we will prosecute them and we will have them arrested. That's what she said to the man. His son just died.
The video.
Yeah, but that was the first. I was right there when she and the President Obama were going to bury his son, along with Stevens. And it's like, is there any? Yeah, I think about, you know, Reverend Wright. Reverend Wright was being interviewed on a news program, and he said that the president was talking. He's talking about he and the president were talking. And all I know is what Reverend Wright said. And I'm not saying he's a good source of what's going on. This is what he said was, he said, the president told him, he said, your problem is that you feel like you have to be truthful. And that's what he said. Mm. That was an interview with Sean Hannity on Fox News. You can find out with Reverend Wright. And he was talking about that. And it's like, what point did politics become just like all the king's men in the movie in 1949? I mean, obviously it's been around for a while, but it's like, is the liar wrong or the one who's believing the lie because they're going to get something out of it?
Mm. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The Holy Spirit said, for 100 days, beginning March the 1st, I'm going to take my people through a time of redefinement. For the last number of years, God's people have really been bound. And the Holy Spirit said that His people's been contained and constrained. They have been refined. When you go through the refiner's fire, you have a period of loss, but it's not bad loss. It's loss of things that needs to go. And the Holy Spirit said that there's some of you here today that you've lost some relationships, but don't worry about it. The Lord's going to give you more relationships to make up for the ones that you lost. The Holy Spirit said, for 100 days, beginning March the 1st, I'm going to take my people through a time of redefinement. Simon was known as a reed, and the Lord redefined him and called him Peter, and he went from being a reed to a rock. Same man, just redefined. There's going to be cities that the Holy Spirit in America is about to redefine. They were known as one thing, but they're about to be redefined and known as another thing. You've been one way, but you're about to be completely another way. Some of you is going to experience such a change in your life, you're going to realize when God gets through redefining you, you could have never done that 6 months ago. The devil has come to some of you and he's convinced you that you're put off. It's not going to happen. You're wasting your time. The devil's told some of you that you prayed about it, and nothing's going to happen. But I've come here today to turn the ship in the water. And I've come here to tell you, God is about to give you a season of suddenlies in the name of Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
Part of this world, we're not supposed to walk around like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when he tells us, you know, I want to say this one more time before we close out this wisdom moment, and this is so important. You know, we got to redefine. What's the definition of a lie? Because people, I mean, I saw two politicians being interviewed on the news, both of them representing their political parties, two opposite mm-hmm. political parties. And he's the one that screamed. Do you remember the guy that was screaming? He was running for Duke.
Dean, Howard Dean.
Howard Dean. And he just says something that the other particular person says, well, that's a lie. And he says, that is so inappropriate. I cannot believe you should never, ever in the political arena ever call anybody a liar. You should say things like misspoke or it's like,
oh,
what happened?
Gosh.
You can't call a liar a liar anymore.
Wow.
And you cannot call radical Islam anymore. And you cannot call your enemy anymore. And you can't, hello, wake up church. And it's important. It's not that he's saying, hey, we're going to stand this ground and say we're just got to make a point at some point. Okay, from this point on, I'm going to repent and I'm not going to be a part of a lie. You could have been living it. You could have made a decision. You could have said it. You could have told people it. You could have told your boss that or whatever. It's time to start living in the truth. And how can you be a person who delivers the truth of God's word and you're not truthful?
Mm-hmm.
You need to be truthful. And not perfect, things happen, you know, but it's an accident or it's an odd, peculiar anomaly that happened in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it sticks out because it doesn't happen normally in your life like that.
Right.
But a lie is defined as this. A lie is a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive. An intentional untruth, something intended or serving to convey a false impression. Can anybody say all the political ads almost on the, I think about several of people who are just trying to defend themselves from all these lies being poured out against them.
Mm.
But listen, if we're going to run for office, and I pray that a lot of Christians do run for office and stand up, realize that you're going to be, they're going to lie.
They're going to lie on you, yeah.
And with that, we don't need to be believing everything we hear. We don't need to believe everything we hear. We need to be ready to respond and pause and think and verify. You know, like Reagan said, trust but verify. And flattery is defined as excessive or insincere praise that is given to further one's interests. Understand this, that right now there's so many lies and so much flattery, which is a nice lie, being given to America, to political factions, to social groups, to all these different groups are being flattered. And the truth is, it's going to be what it's going to be. You know, these are all lies. It's just, it's like we're being turned over. We're being turned over. And so many people are thinking, hey, if we just vote for somebody who's a good businessman or vote for somebody who's keeping things status quo, and they think by choosing some certain candidate that it's going to be resolved. But even in that, if you're saying that you got a whole nother book added to the Bible that you heard got from an angel called Mormon
right
in upstate New York, even though what you're doing is good, that's based on a lie.
Right.
I mean, we're not going to be able to bet ourselves down, church, with a lesser lie and think we're going to come out with lesser harm.
Mm-hmm.
And so understand this. Today's proverb, Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin.
So good. I mean, this is so good. You got to be able to know to separate between what is the truth and what is a lie these days.
It's hard, isn't it?
All this double talk.
Because you're looking at people that you trust, trusted, and so you're watching their response, and you're watching. Yeah, you know, I wrote our congressman and thought, I said, what are you doing? What's going on? Where are you in this? And everybody's so quiet. You know why? You know why? Because they're hoping that everybody, they're just thinking that everything's going to go their way, whatever your political persuasion is. And then all of a sudden, everything's going to be resolved because your man, whoever your man is, and your woman, whoever your woman is, gets in office.
Mm.
But what God is telling us, and you need to listen to brace yourself, that that's not how it's going to go.
That's right.
It's not how it's going to go. And we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world.
Exactly.
We have to. God calls us out from amongst the world to be separate. He's called us out. He said, "Without holiness, no man will see God." It's such a dark culture now. And the darkest culture of all is when the lights are real bright, everything's being taken care of, everybody's living in their houses, and back then horses, but now cars and jobs. You understand that, and everything's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to have a crust of bread and be at peace with God than have a lot of money and be in a home of strife.
That's right.
And I would like for this not to be true. I mean, I really would, but also I would like for everybody to know God, and everybody is appointed once to die, and then the judgment. That are we willing to live our life for those who are headed to death, that are headed to the slaughter, if you would, of the consequences of living a life against God? Because the thing is, until God called me, I was walking in darkness. I didn't know God, and so. You can find out about my testimony on meetmyfather.org, and the few of us that shared our testimonies there. But you cannot know him and then know him, but it takes somebody. Well, with my case, it was I was going down the road at nighttime. I was a deputy sheriff, and a about 2 o'clock in the morning, and God just called my name. He just called me.
Weren't you? Did you listen to your radio and everything?
Yeah, I was listening probably to Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing, or something like that. And that I was the noise disturbance when I showed up in my cruiser. Yeah, I didn't have a big.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that.
Oh, really?
What I'm saying? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The well, you had to stay awake, you know, coffee and loud music, and and when you read my testimony, you'll probably see why God had to call me all by myself because it was so crazy. You got to hear my testimony. I have an amazing, I think, testimony that. It's religion is just amazing. And you understand that God's people can be religious.
Yeah.
And God's in love with all mankind and he loves all of us. But religion is so weird because, you know, God accepts a person and forgives a person, but sometimes religion has a few issues with it. But yet religion starts thinking, well, I guess then we still need you to do this. And so then they put you over something they wouldn't even, you know, it's like, it's crazy. It's so crazy. It's like, oh, is this for real? You know, excuse me. This logic is blowing my mind away. And it's just religion.
Yeah.
And it's religion. And God loves us all. And so you can be called out of darkness into the light when you make a decision for God. You cry out to God, say, Lord, I need you. And we're talking to you about hope. I mean, maybe God's drawing you to himself.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at all these things that are taking place and you're wondering why everybody's so silent. You're not alone. We're wondering why the church is silent too.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Mark Downey & Associates is a unique real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to the success of his multi-award winning firm is simple: aggressive marketing and intense passion for serving others. If you're looking for a team of professionals that ensures the total satisfaction of their clients, contact Mark Downey's team today. Blue Angel Hot Tubs, Pools, and Spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. And we want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this, do this, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the multiply, it's the multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We'll give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience out there and those that are listening to us.
I want to get you talking about lying previously is the fact, you know, the more lies you tell, the more that you become deceived. There's a lot of people deceived thinking that what they're doing is right and deceived thinking that because they have... they know of God and they know about God and they know a lot about religion that they actually know God. And it's like the one thing is that you can't be deceived. You got to know him. Mm-hmm. And you can have a personal relationship, but that's the worst part of the deception is there's many, many people. The word of God tells us many, many are going to say that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy and do miracles and cast out demons? And he's going to say, I never knew you. That's a people that were deceived. They actually thought that they knew him, and the reality was that they didn't. And so the thing is, you know, even Paul says we have to examine ourselves to see if we're still in the faith. You know, so they used to say you got to do a checkup from the neck up. You know, you got to do a checkup in the heart. You got to know if you're still in the faith. And right now, it's just America seems to be such a religious country. Is it God bless America? God bless America.
Well, tell me who says this. Tell me who said this. And I'm going to go to talk about rethinking church. Is tell a lie loud enough and long enough, and people will believe it.
That was Adolf Hitler. Ah,
my goodness.
Wow.
Listen, JJ. Jews and Jesus, the church. Listen up to me. This is Adolf Hitler's quote. Tell a lie loud enough and long enough, and people will believe it. What are you hearing people say? We need to rewrite history. How do you do that? You begin to just start speaking this whole new thing that's not. I mean, listen, liars, they'll lie to you, and you gotta write down the truth sometimes to go back and remember it, because they'll deny it ever existed, and you'll hear them lie about it so much that you'll say, you might not agree. I can't tell you why right now this is not right, but this is not right because they've told you the lie so long that you're trying to even grasp what really happened in that particular encounter with them or whatever's going on. So I have a habit sometimes just sitting down and say, just taking some notes at that point. If I ever have to talk about that again, I can talk about it in the right context. Because sometimes they can lie to us so long that when we start talking to them, it gets twisted. And it's almost like we might be telling them something that's not accurate ourselves because they messed up our truth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're like, they changed the characters. They changed the founding fathers.
Where's the video camera? Where's the video?
Yeah. And so you have, it's just, that's how it works. Which means this, by the way, if you'll wash your mind with the word of God, if you will hear the word of God over and over again, and you listen to VFN Radio, for example, and watch VFN TV, and you start hearing and believing what God says. You start hearing truth, and it's the truth that sets us free. And so the dangerous thing is not just people lying. The dangerous thing is if you tell it loud and long enough, people believe it. Mm-hmm. And look what happened with, isn't it interesting that it was the Jews that suffered because of the lie?
Mm-hmm.
with Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think, and since Satan is a liar, and he's the father of lies, which means it originates from him himself,
mm-hmm.
what's happening right now in America? The same liar that was lying through Hitler is lying through all this that's happening in our...
That's right.
And if you missed it, you can go back and you can hear the first part of this hour about the word of wisdom. But sometimes God will put a lying spirit on a nation or on a people because he's turning it over to itself to bring it mm-hmm. to its end.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Ahab's life rule ended because God put a lying spirit around him. Mm-hmm. Makes you want to get in the truth, don't it?
Sure does.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to... Go ahead.
I was going to say, it takes grace and courage to be truth bearers in this land. It's like, Lord, raise up the truth bearers, those that are willing to stand for the truth and share the truth despite of what it may cost you. And the fact of the matter is that it will cost. We got to get past that. You know, well, I'll tell the truth and I'll stand for something if it doesn't. It's like, give me a break. It's going to cost you. But isn't it worth it?
Yeah, and you know, the my personal dilemma, and I'm sure if you're honest, everybody's, your dilemma is, but I'm a fallen man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have not been perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been lies in my past, in my history, in my truth, my experience. But now I'm living for God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm living for God. And I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying he's right. And I'm not saying line up with me. I'm mm-hmm. saying let's line up with him and yeah. allow his grace and his mercy and his empowerment of his spirit for us to walk again in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, the truth doesn't always feel good.
Mm-hmm.
The truth doesn't always give us comfort. And it definitely doesn't always give us convenience. And and that's what we're saying here. And it's difficult, mm-hmm. but don't just say, hey, you know, because I made a mistake in my past, because I, you know, that's what the cross is about. That's what grace is about. That's what's right. so good about the good news of the kingdom is that we can acknowledge sin, ask God to forgive us of the sin. And he does. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we can mm-hmm. say from this point on,
right?
I made a commitment that I was going to live a life by God's grace as a man of integrity, a woman of integrity. And I was going to, what happens is when you start saying I'm going to live a life of truth, what you do say, you're well aware of it mm-hmm. because you're thinking it through.
That's right.
You're thinking mm-hmm. it through before you say it because you know that if you say it wrong, you're going to go back and make it right immediately because you made a commitment before God that
right.
you're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so to save yourself a lot of humility, you just pause and think and just immediately respond. I mean, I've seen, you know, people that have this mindset, which is a good mindset, in the middle of a conversation, they would start talking. And in the middle of the mindset, they would just talk, the conversation, they would say, well, no, now that I think about it, it actually was this way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they self-correct. They just like,
yeah.
they weren't going to let it ride at that particular point. And this stuff about misspoke and all this kind of like, are you really can't, you know, you mm-hmm. can't call your enemy and you can't call a lie. We're in trouble because mm-hmm. all that originates from Satan. So I can have mm-hmm. to bring yeah. destruction there.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The Orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Well, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine, and it's the anointing, it transferred. Okay,
I know, isn't that amazing? It never happened until it happened.
Until, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that contribution to the program.
Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. Right. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share.
We're
him
just
with
blowing
you.
Your mind. Can we? It's like
Till. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student. Yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar.
Of that.
Remember?
It was Hagar. I know. Didn't she come from the anyway?
So, anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So back to all-time favorite quotes. I can't even say
the name. Dr. Brown, we're I did sorry, not Mr. say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call okay. it croaks?
Quotes.
Croaks.
Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
Yeah, croak. Okay, croak. Okay. Okay. Quoters. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right. Okay, we're here. All right. VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just yeah.
It's
croaks?
Just So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Serious quote. Very
Let's
serious
get in the serious
quote.
Mode.
Yeah, I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right yeah. now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay. So.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We know rethinking church. It's always important, and this is a conversation that we're having, you know, VFN Radio. It's just one conversation that about, you know, what God's been laying on our heart to be able to encourage you, to get you to start thinking outside the box. Thinking outside the box. And so we call this the original tenet of the church, a rethinking church. Mm-hmm. We want to begin to think, no, not just one word, rethinking, re and then thinking. What a concept. Let's think. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Well, it's because my father did it. And mm-hmm. then you talk to his father, said, why are you doing it? He says, because my mother did it.
All right.
Does anybody know why you're doing it? I mean, is there mm-hmm. any, and go back to the word, if only 19% of the church is reading the Bible, the thing is that many, we're doing things for many, many reasons, but God is not the reason for a lot of it then, if we're mm-hmm. outside of his word, maybe philosophies or traditions or something of that nature. What I want to talk about is, in regards to rethinking church, is there is no us and them. There is no us and them. There's just us. Let me say it again. There is no us and them. You hear people quite often when they're talking about, and we try to formulate what we're saying in a way that this is our driving force and understanding that we are for the church.
Mm-hmm, right.
But we're not for what people are calling the church, buildings, organizations, and all. We're for the people that are the church, believers. We're for Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be. And it's just us. There is no us and them. There's just us. And, you know, some good examples, understanding that when you think about Joshua, when Joshua was facing a battle, and the angel of the Lord shows up and he says, whose side are you on? Are you on our side or are you on their side? And the angel says, neither. He's on God's side.
Right.
And there's only one church. When you think about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, he says, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble, which is a journey we all have to go on.
Right.
Completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity, keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we are called to one hope when we were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And in all. Listen, there's only one. That's why, you know, think about this. Why in the world would a, when you think about one human body, why would a hand speak against an arm? Why would an eye speak mm-hmm. against an ear? Why would a foot speak against a leg?
Right.
Kind of ridiculous, because it's the same body. Although we're right. many parts, we're one body. But you have to understand, if there's cancer in the body and you're speaking against the cancer, it's the body gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cell doing its own thing.
Right.
It's a rapid multiplication of what's normally supposed to happen at the same rhythm of every other cell. It's actually multiplying faster. Hence, you got a growth, you got a tumor or something of that nature. And so speaking about what's wrong in the body is not speaking against the body.
Mm-hmm.
And we're for the church. We're for you. We're for Jesus. If you're for Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you're a believer, you can't be for Jesus and against the church, because it's his body.
Right.
It's his body. And it's so important to understand that. So when you think about the church, think about people. And you think about three aspects of how the church is addressed. There's the world church, which is the entire body of the church, and the universal church, which is everything, everybody that ever was, is, and will be, that are, that have became Christians, who are Christians and who will be Christians, Christ followers. So there's the universal church. Then there's the regional church. The regional church is like when you hear them talk about, and writing the Bible, they talk about the church of Ephesus, the church of New York, the church of Smyrna, the church of Georgia, the church of America. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you can do that because it's not buildings, it's not organizations, it's not denominations, it's a people. And then you can talk about the local church, which are the same universal church, just different pieces of the church, different pieces mm-hmm. of it. And so right. understanding that if we start defining the church as anything other than what it is, everything gets confusing, and all of a sudden somebody starts thinking that you're talking against the church, and you're not, you're for the church. Mm-hmm. You know, that we lay down our lives for the church, and you should lay down your lives for the church, mm-hmm. but not for an organization.
Right.
Not for some man's philosophies, and not for some traditions, but just for the body, for the people, for the people. And so understanding that, then when we're rethinking church, begin to think about church as people. Begin to think about it as the body of Christ, human beings who've made a decision to follow Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of their life. Are we in many different positions in the body? Yeah, we got hands and feet and eyes, and we have different functions, but together we're one body. And God gives gifts to that one body to be able to function in the context of that. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks about the gifts. And the reason why he gives the gifts is not that any part's any better than any other part. It's just for a particular function that happens in the church. He talks about it in Ephesians 4:11. It says, it was he, which is Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. To what? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body, that's just one, the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure and the fullness of Christ. And he says that we, each of us should be able to do this with Jesus Christ being the head, with each part joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, that we grow and we build ourselves up in love as each part does our work.
Right.
So there's a function that we have in the body. There's something that we're called to do. And so you cannot not address the cancer. If you identify yourself by your dis-ease, what you're being attacked with, instead of identifying yourself, or you identify yourself as, you know, I'm a, and you name whatever name that you gave yourself mm-hmm. and your organization, and there's people that will lay down their lives for the organization.
Right.
And that's just a man's con. It's a good idea. It could be a good idea or a bad idea, but it is an idea that somebody came up with. Because when you look at the Word of God talks about us as a universal church. Mm-hmm. In all of us, and then segments of us, which would be regional, then you have the local church. When Paul went from city to city and town to town, he was not going to different churches. He was going to different parts of the church. And when people would make their Jesus the Lord of their life, a new church would birth around that whole situation.
Right.
And which means a gathering. He says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And if Jesus is in the midst, if Jesus is in you and you're a believer and Jesus is ruling in your midst, even with two of you, then who's to add to that? How can you add to that? And so it's so important that when we're talking about what we're saying from VFN Radio and VFNT, we're talking to you to encourage you as the church. Mm-hmm. And even if you've gone astray and you once were walking with the Lord, I want you to know that God loves you and God's got a plan for you. We're talking to you too. We're hoping to encourage you to come back to the universal church, maybe in your region, maybe in a local expression of the church, to bring you hope. And those that maybe you're being drawn to God, you don't know God, you never mm-hmm. knew him, but now you're feeling this drawing to God, and that we're talking to you to join the church, which is the body of Christ. And so we're not trying to. And this is the big thing, is that though seeing it the wrong way, people think that they're building their kingdoms, mm-hmm. the kingdoms of man versus the kingdoms of God, with their own philosophies and their own concepts and traditions, versus there's only one kingdom in regards to the church. It's the kingdom of God of which Jesus is king over.
Right.
And we're supposed to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things and stuff are added to us. And understanding that, hey, to be for the church is to be for Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But to not mention the very thing that's hurting the church is to be disobedient to God and to be a partner with one who destroys.
Right.
If you see what's going on and you see a part of the church going to the slaughter, they're making decisions, they're not introducing people to the voice of God, and they're totally vulnerable to the wolves devouring them, and you know this and you see this, mm-hmm. and you know plainly that, you know, that God's going to hold you accountable for not saying something, and you, if you don't say anything about it, and we're going to talk about this in a few moments, you have a fear of man versus a fear of God, because the fear of God, you're going to tell them. You're going to let them, hey, listen, mm-hmm. listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. You're going to have to spend some time with God. And so when you're rethinking church, I want you to think about this, that to be in competition with any part of the church is like a hand to be in competition with the eye, or the eye to be mm-hmm. in competition with the ear, or the foot to be in competition with the leg. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And if you've built your value and your sustention of life based on what you're getting from the body of Christ instead of on Christ himself, then you're going to try to sustain something that's artificially being sustained for your own personal benefit instead of letting God do whatever he's going to do with it.
Right.
We're called a vine. We go wherever the sun gives light, wherever God, that's what we do. We have family. God gives these gifts, but the gifts are to be able to train God's people for works of service. So every one of us are called to be the church, the body of Christ. And so I wanted to encourage you in rethinking the church, that when you look at a spirit of competition, which is, when you think of it, like it really is, I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Right.
It's like, it's embarrassing. What are you doing? Secondly, when you look at selfish ambition in the context of the church, you're being selfish against the very, it's like the hand being selfish. If the hand gets selfish from the arm might say, hey, I'm going to cut you off.
Yeah.
And then the hand dies. If the heart gets selfish and say, "Hey, I feel like I'm more important than the body," then the whole body dies. Selfish ambition is ridiculous when you think about your body parts and how they function in the anatomy of your body. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how ridiculous it really is in the body of Christ. And so understand this, then, that means if the spirit of competition and ambition divides, then it will divide the body of Christ, and just like in the natural sense, it'll bring death to a part of your body. We can end up hurting or harming the body of Christ when you think in the area of selfish ambition or competition. It's one, we need to get together.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other. But we need followers of Jesus Christ. We need to follow Jesus, not men. And we follow Jesus, we follow the Lord. We're actually following what we have in common is we come together, we say amen, because we're hearing the same voice, the same Lord, the same Spirit. That's what amen means. It doesn't mean, hey, that's a good song, or that's a good word. It means that, hey, I'm in agreement. I bears witness with me. I've been spending time with God. I abide with God, and he speaks to me, and I heard the very same thing. It bears witness with my mm-hmm. spirit. Hence, we say, amen. So therefore, anyone or anything who inspires you to follow, be a fellow believer, to serve and trust the Lord and to obey the Lord should be celebrated. We should celebrate that, whether it was a song, whether it's a radio program, whether it's a television broadcast, no matter what it is, if it inspired you. At the same time, this also means that anything that discourages you, anything that divides you, anything that causes you to feel like us and them versus like, oh, you know, this is, I got to get along with my hand because I need my hand, even though my hand's acting up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always thinking about, Lord, help me get along with my hand.
Right.
Help me get along with my eye. Doesn't mean that your eye wants to get along with you, but you have to be open to the probability that if your hand repents, that you're going to get along with it because
mm-hmm.
we need each other. It doesn't mean that it will happen, but on your side of history, for you to be on the right side of the equation, when you're rethinking church, understand that we cannot have an us and them mentality. It's just us. It's the universal church spoken of regionally, and often we see locally, in the expression, we are not an organization, we're an organism. And so an organism is a living body, if you would. And so what we do at VFM Radio, we're here to encourage the body of Christ, the church, to inspire you. We're not here to inspire organizations. We're here to talk to you, the believer, who wants to know God more and who wants to hear his voice and who wants to know when you go to sleep tonight that God's going to speak to you, that he guides you and leads you as a shepherd. We are for you. We are so for you that we fought many fights against men's religions and traditions just to be here to tell you that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life and that you can survive difficult times. You can survive and be fruitful in your life. You can have a marriage and family by walking with God. So VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program, is here. It's a ministry of Greg Lancaster Ministries, and it's here specifically for that, to encourage you, to let you know about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to inspire you and say, you know what? I can do this thing today. To give you the hope to say, you know what? I'm going to try to get along with my hand today. I'm going to try to get along with the parts of the body of Christ that are not trying to get along with me. And I'm going to go ahead and accept the fact that right now they don't want to, but if they do, I'm wide open to that getting along, because it's important for us, for our Father, to see his children getting along under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So rethinking church. The original tenet of the church, we're the body of Christ. Jesus is the firstborn from amongst us. Not only is he our Lord and Savior and King, but he is the firstborn of the church. He's the head of the church, and it's his body. So understanding that, that means this, that for us to get along is for Jesus' body to function as it was designed to do. Yeah, the enemy's sowing things continually, but we fight against that. We fight against those mindsets and the accusations of the enemy, and we do our best to give honor to each part as it does its work.
Oh my goodness! Auntie's Restaurant Barbecue, a taste of Southern soul on Highway 29, just 1/4 mile north from Kingsfield Road, right on the right-hand side. Come on in and get some. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola, not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us, is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he said, go be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, If you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness, right, but you're actually bringing light into that area. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision, mm-hmm, about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace, in your home, Just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?